It's our privilege to have Mark Kennedy, who has been with Village Missions since before he was born, in fact. And he's going to share a little bit about the ministry of VM and his role and the greatness of our God.
Thanks, Pastor Mike. Well, it's an honor to be with you, and there's very few services I enjoy more than taking the Lord's table together with the body of Christ. Isn't that an amazing thing for us to be able to do? I'm just catch you up a little bit, and certainly want to direct you to the Word of God. Village Missions goes into rural areas of the United States and Canada, provides couples to go in there, some single guys as well, to preach God's Word and love His people. And actually, I was 6 months old when my parents joined Village Missions. That was 1950-something. So anyway, I've been around a while, and I'm telling Village Missions that my retirement really should be, they think it's out of this world, you know, but we're glad to be with you. And in the back, there's a display with some brochures. There's flashlights back there and pins. We'd like those to be gone, because then you have that nice little flashlight. It reminds you Village Missions is on the side. Pray for Village Missions and pray for the Village missionaries that are out serving all across the United States and Canada today and every Sunday, and some in some very remote areas. It was around 1910, and Mrs. Monroe was a young lady raising her family in the remote mountains of Colorado. And so if you can imagine 1910 in the mountains of Colorado, you know it was remote. At some point during those early years, in the early 1900s, she had come to faith in Christ. She was the only believer in her family, as I understand it, and she longed for and she prayed for Christian fellowship. Now, you can imagine if you're the only believer, and some of you are the only believers in your family, but then go back before smartphones and television and electricity, and, you know, and that's the position she found herself in. And so she began to pray for God to provide Christian fellowship. By 1931, her family was mostly raised, and she prayed, God, I've been praying for years, and I've raised my family without a church home. And I have never had a pastor, Lord, to minister to me, to preach the Word of God. And Lord, I don't want my grandchildren to be in the same position that I'm in. Please send somebody to our mountain to preach God's Word. In 1981, around 70 years, actually a little more 70 years after Mrs. Moreau's initial prayer, a small group of folks 30 miles down the road began to also go before the Lord in prayer. And they began to ask God to provide their own pastor. Neither one of these communities, they were 30 miles apart, had ever had their own pastor. And they began to pray. They started praying 25 years after Mrs. Monroe had passed away. Meanwhile, back up on the mountain, even though Mrs. Monroe's daughter had not come to faith in Christ, her granddaughter had, and she was now 45 years old, and she was towards the end of raising her family, and she knew that her grandmother had prayed for years that God would provide a pastor for their area, and so she too prayed. I know that. I spoke to her personally. God, my children need someone besides me to encourage their spiritual life, and I need it too. Send us someone to do that. At the same time, 100 miles away, a young couple was on their knees before God saying, God, we want to serve you. We'll go wherever you want us to go. We want to serve you. We want to commit our life to serving you. They had finished Bible college and they wanted to be sent out. If you could look back over your life, even before you were born, who was it that was praying that you one day would come to faith in Christ? Somebody say, well, nobody started praying that I would come to faith in Christ before I was born. Well, we started praying for the kids that we might get someday. I started praying as a single man. God, if you bless me with a wife and you bless me with children, I want them to know you. And you're here today in answer to their prayers. God has you here this morning on purpose. We stand on the shoulders of those who've paved the way and prayed the way for us to be here. So I hope you don't take it lightly that you're here this morning, that God brought you to Trail Creek Community Church on purpose and for a reason. Just like, Lord willing, he'll do that next Sunday as well. I never met Mrs. Monroe, the lady who prayed that God would send a pastor into her area. She died before I was born. She died, as I mentioned, 25 years before the folks down in Livermore, Colorado, began to pray for God to provide them a pastor. And they had heard about a group called Village Missions. The Village Missions would go into rural areas and provide spiritual leadership. And when you're a small group and you have little or no funds at all, and you hear about a group like that, they contacted Village Missions and said, would you send us somebody? Would you send somebody up to the mountains of here in Colorado? And as I said earlier, Bonnie and I were that young couple. Do you remember what it was like when you were a young couple? It was a long time ago, right? But we had gone before the Lord. We had told him we'll go wherever he wants us to go. But we had specifically said, Lord, we have a burden for rural America. Would you send us there? Time won't allow me to tell you all that went into God getting us to that point where we would get on our knees before him and say we're willing to go wherever, and some of you can understand. But I will tell you this, the very next day, I was working at Gates Forming Company in downtown Denver. The very next day, that night, my wife and I got on our knees before the Lord saying, we surrender our lives to you. We will go wherever you want us to go. Epi Valdez calls me into his office, and he tells me about this tremendous business opportunity. I've been watching you work over the years, and a man has come to me, and this guy, everything he touches turns to gold, and I have this great business opportunity. And he said, Mark, I've handpicked you for this. You don't want to mess this great opportunity. And I think he was disappointed, dejected, and a little bit discouraged when I said to him, Mr. Valdez, last night my wife and I committed our lives to serve the Lord, and I can't take you up on that great opportunity. Well, God's timing is always perfect, isn't it? Sometimes in my mind I wonder, what if he would have called me in one day earlier, you know? Because, I mean, you bargain with God, right? Lord, you know what? I was a welder. Yeah, this wasn't what he was wanting me to do, but I thought, you know, I can make a lot of money welding, Lord, and send missionaries out and help provide. You know, you kind of bargain with God, and, you know, God doesn't bargain, by the way. You know that, right? It's kind of his way. That's the way it's going to be. Its timing's perfect. It would be 1 year before we arrived in that Livermore, Red Feather Lakes area of northern Colorado. We had support to raise. We did a short internship. But when we arrived there, on purpose in an answer to over 70 years of prayer. Do you know how overwhelming and humbling it was for me as a young man, not even 25 yet, to have a lady come up to me and tell me that 50 years before I was born, her grandmother was praying that I would come? I laughed with Audie Robinson one day, the granddaughter of Mrs. Monroe, who had prayed for God to send a pastor, and she's telling me, we've been praying for years for you to come. What took you so long? And I said, well, I had to be born first, you know. And I even laughed. I told her, you know, this Mrs. Monroe had prayed before God had saved my mom and dad, who came from really rough backgrounds. And so God's planning ahead, always planning ahead. Well, what is God preparing you for at Trail Creek Community Church? There's been years of prayer that have gone into even us being here. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And, you know, I think that we always need to be reminded of what the Word of God has to say. Someone has said you should preach the gospel to yourself every day. It's a good thing to remember some of these key verses of Scripture. But one of the things I would like you to think about is, what do people without Jesus Christ face? You know, even if you die with all of the money in the world, which you wouldn't have all of it, and you face a Christless eternity, it's a really pitiful position. So Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 35, Matthew 9, 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." And people love it when the pastor stops at that verse at the end of chapter 9. It's wonderful because we don't have to do anything, right? We just have to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers out. And so it kind of gets us off the hook, right? So you can leave here after the potluck and go, "Man, I'm glad I'm not having to be sent out. I just have to pray for," but that's not really how it works, is it? Chapter 10 is a continuation. In fact, it's unfortunate sometimes the chapter breaks. There's no chapter break. It should just continue on. And in chapter 10, it's a continuation. And it says, as you read through that passage, and I hope that you do that this week, Jesus empowers us as believers to go out with the gospel. We are the answer to our prayers. You're praying for God to send out harvesters, and you are to go out and begin to harvest. It's pray and go. I think it's pray is chapter 9 and go is chapter 10. The same authority the Lord gave his first disciples has also been given to us. And even though we may not have the privilege of going around and healing people of their sickness and disease, we have been given the power of the gospel, the greatest, most powerful message ever given. And I will tell you this, the healing of physical diseases will always pale in comparison to the power of the gospel to deliver people from sin and hell. It's just an amazing to think about. I'd rather have a short life in Jesus Christ than a long life without any difficulties at all and go into a Christless eternity. So the same authority. Romans says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith." We have a generous God. And I don't think we even begin to understand how generous God is. And I'll get back to the story here in a minute, but I just want to share with you and make you think about this generous God for a little bit this morning. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world, he did what? Gave. That's an act of generosity, right? And if you don't believe that, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, "For you know of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich..." Now, how rich was Jesus Christ in heaven? I mean, you could put everything together in this world and not begin to compare it because he's the creator, right? And this is, he says, "Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty, you might become rich." It's like, I'm a rich man, you know? I've been forgiven. I'm a rich man. Now, maybe in the world's eyes, they might not think. Actually, some people in the world actually think we're very, very rich, you know? But rich in Christ. And then what is becoming one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and you might even just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's just a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 1, and I'm going to look at verses 18 through 20. 2 Corinthians 1:18. "But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no." Now, do you ever have a conversation with people and they're never really giving you a yes and they're never really giving you a no? It's kind of like, where are we going here? You know, are we going to get somewhere? Our word to you was not yes and no. Verse 19, "For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many of the promises of God in him, they are yes. Therefore, through him is our amen to the glory of God." That's an act of God's amazing generosity. God loves to say yes. And we love to say no, maybe. You know, God with his salvation is not up in heaven going, yeah, maybe. Maybe if Pastor Mike does really well and he can climb 36 feet up and rescue a cat out of the tree, you know. God's not that way, is he? He's not a maybe God. All the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ. It's a pretty tremendous passage of scripture. So we learned the value of saying yes. My philosophy is we have a generous God, and a generous God should lead to a generous church filled with generous people. People who are considering how much God has given them, and we get to give it away. Christ says, freely you have received, freely give. That's after the pray for harvesters, right? So my hope is we would learn that. So we're generous. Generous with each other. That's believer to believer. Now, it's easy to be generous believers, right? Because they're always kind. They always say the right thing. People in your church do, right? Do other believers ever rub you the wrong way? Sometimes, like, you're not really responding, so I'm not really sure if you are. What did somebody say? To live above with the saints I love, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints I know, now that's another story. But we're to be generous with each other, right? You ever have a bad day? Well, be generous with people when they're in that position. Be generous with your church family. I believe that's leadership to the people that attend church. Be generous. And the leadership of the church needs the art of saying yes. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So it's pretty important. Generous with your pastor and his family. It's fun to be at a church and see that that's taking place. Ways to show generosity to your pastor. Well, this is Pastor Appreciation Month. And some of you are aware of that, right? So, but listen, you know what? I think every Sunday is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. If your pastor says something in a message, don't go out and say, nice message. Good sermon, dude. I've seen the dude side of your pastor, by the way. But try to pick out something specific that Pastor Mike has said to you and say, you know, there's a point you made in your message that really encouraged me, or send him a text during the week or an email, you know, just that act of generosity. Generous with the facilities that God has provided you. You know what? We've been coming here for 2.5 years. Things have been a-changing around here. See our sign that says, Village Missions Revitalizing Country Churches, and on one side of the church is kind of run down, and the next picture is, man, this building, every time we come, something new has happened around here. Drywall and paint and doors, and, you know, I think it's a good testimony, and it's an act of worship to keep up the facilities that God has given you. So, good job. Pat yourself on the back. To me, that's a tremendous blessing, and I'm thankful for that. Generous in your community. How is this church known in the community? Do you show acts of generosity to community? Generous with the missionaries you support. It was neat to have Ed talk about one of the missionaries that you support this morning. And look for ways to be generous to them. And when two of the churches I pastored, once a year we'd say, now we know we'd send you monthly support, but if you could have some special items, what would they be? Is there a book you'd like to have? And we would just bless them with, and with the overseas one, it was a little bit harder, but just an act of generosity. Generous with the visitors who come. You know, it's really awkward when you go to visit a church and you feel like you're not welcome. I had a lot of people shaking my hand this morning. I don't know if it's because I had this name tag on. But actually, I've heard about you guys. You're generous. You're great with people that come and visit. I ask you this question. Who is welcome in your church? And it's an important thing to ask and to answer. So generous with those who come. Who comes to church? Well, the beautiful people come. The short timers come. Sometimes people come that are unresponsive, you know. You want to put them on a heart meter and see, is there really somebody alive there? And then you have people that come that are broken, but become known as the church that says yes. And I just want to finish up by story at Livermore and Redfeather. Again, I never met Mrs. Monroe. And in the winter of 1983, so we'd been in the community for just over a year, we had church on Sunday mornings in Livermore, and we had church on Wednesday evenings, and the Redfeather at the Potbelly Restaurant and Lounge in Redfeather, Colorado. We were doing two churches, and I had tried to make the 30-mile mountain run between churches, and in the wintertime, that was just an impossibility to do. The roads were undependable, so Bonnie was hitching a ride. We had one car. She was hitching a ride going down to church in Livermore for Sunday school. I was trying to preach at Redfeather Sunday mornings and then drive all the way down, and it didn't work, so we moved our church service to Wednesday evening. And we're having our church service on Wednesday evening. And 1983, the winter of 1983, I'm teaching, so I'm not really standing, but I'm kind of sitting, and the group is there. The restaurant would close down at I think 6 or 6:30, and 7 o'clock was when our church service was, but the bar was still open. And it wasn't like there was a big break between the two. There was a doorway kind of like in your foyer there, you know. So, but that's what worked, you know. And it was a heated building, and it was the wintertime in the mountains of Colorado. And we're sitting there, and sometime within the winter, we're there, we're having Bible study. And there was this one guy named Steve who wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ, and he wanted nothing to do with our church group. But he also did not want his young wife to be driving the snowy mountain roads of Colorado, so he would bring her to church, and it wasn't hard. He'd bring her to church, and he'd go up to the bar and drink beers with buddies and play pool, and they're just right there, you know, in the foyer. So Steve would do that, and his wife would come to Bible study, and this wore on for a while, and one week during our church service in the restaurant down there, Steve came down while study was going, and I don't know that everybody could see him, but he knew that I could see him from the way I sat, and he came down with two beers and a chilled glass. And he sat two tables away from where we were having church. And he opened the beer as loud as he could. And then he poured it with a little bit into his chilled glass, go, 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 you know. And I'm watching this take place, you know, and it's ticking me off a little bit, okay? And he drank that beer down pretty quick, and he opened the second beer just as loudly, and it was like it's pressurized, you know, you're at 8,500 feet. And he poured the second beer in, and he drank it down pretty quick, and he went back up in the bar. That was a test for me, and he was doing it on purpose. Do you like it when people do stuff like that? Well, I'll tell you what, after study, I had some words to share with Steve. So as he and Becky were headed out the door, I went, "Steve!" And he looked at me. And I went over there and I went, "Thanks for bringing Becky to church. Just want you to know I really appreciate that." Now, I'm going to tell you what, Steve was shocked those words came out of my mouth, and so was I. That was not what I was going to say. And I had something to say to him, but that wasn't it. You know, like, how could you mock Jesus Christ like that? You know, you get all spiritual times like that, right? And all I could get was, "Thanks for driving your wife to church." Next week, Bible study was going on. Steve came down with one beer, a chilled glass, set one table away instead of two tables away. He held that beer close. He tried to open it quiet. It still sounded really loud to me, you know. Poured the beer into that glass, and man, he savored that beer for like 45% or 50% of the Bible study. And he went back up in the bar. Now, what do you think's happening when Steve's going back up in the bar? His buddy's going, "Oh, you're going to get a little churchy like your wife, you know?" And so Steve's, you know, having a hard time. Third week, Steve comes in with his wife, Becky, with a Bible in his hand. And he sat down at the study with the rest of us. And soon after, he put his faith and trust in Christ. Steve Robinson, the great-great-grandson of Mrs. Monroe, who started praying in 1901 that God would send a pastor to that mountain. I lived through all of that, but it wasn't until about 10 years ago that I put this all together. This woman who had prayed, and then the group had contacted Village Missions, and Village Missions ended up helping serve in both of those areas. Another pastor came. In fact, the director of our mission, Brian Wexler, and Carol were there. Why would God do that? I mean, why would God? Does God care about Trail Creek Community Church? Amen. He does, doesn't he? And on purpose and for a plan, he has you here to reach this community with the good news of the gospel. And yes, pray for harvesters and then go out into the harvest. That's, you know, there's no way a village missionary is going to reach a community with the gospel by themselves. In fact, it'd be wrong to try. And so I just challenge you, you have a generous God. He has given you with such generosity. Be a generous people. Be the church that is known for saying yes, because we have the yes and amen of God, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence with us today. And take these truths, Lord, and remind us and encourage us of what a great and an awesome God you are. Thank you for the great love that you have for us, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.